I kicked this off the ground and I got this podcast started.
So leg of lamb's gone from like $50 to $20.
Right.
And the farmers are very upset. Oh, I died. It was one lettuce leaf, four crackers, and each a choice of either mild or tasty cheese. You're listening to the Pepper and Me podcast, Around the Dinner Table with Cherie, Cam and Lorne, where we chat all things food and business.
Welcome to Around the Dinner Table. My name's Lorne and you're...
Cherie!
Hey! We're up to like episode... We almost hit 30 episodes, I think.
What, in total?
Total, yeah.
Oh, that's not that much.
Maybe that's a lie. Maybe we've done more.
Have you brought anything interesting today? Look at me, I've got, every week I come with a thing full of notes, news.
Look, okay,
and
I kicked this off the ground and I got this podcast started. There was no promise
of bringing anything to the table.
I think I lost the interesting stuff about 10 episodes into it. Now we're just here to like... Let you unload.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I can roll with that. Okay. This is just my platform. You're just here to listen.
Pretty much.
Lovely.
I'm an enabler.
Enabler. Okay. Well, we'll get straight into it. First point on the agenda is the Sunday roast, the revival of the Sunday roast.
Oh, yep.
I like it. I'm bringing it back.
And I think
every week, Sunday roast at my house.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm so into it for winter.
Did you have a Did you have a Sunday roast this weekend just gone?
Well, I tried, but there was no one around, and I had a piece of pork, and I was like, if no one's going to come, I'm going to cook
yep,
it.
No, fair enough.
Every second weekend I've obviously got the kids, that's definitely happening, and then...
If it works out on the other one.
If it works out on the other one, I'll do it as well. But I just love it. Yeah, 5 p.m. Sunday roast. But that Sunday roast that I made with the roast chickens...
It's actually easy as well.
It's
like it's
easy.
Not hard.
No, but I did it properly. Like I parboiled the spuds and then got them super crispy. And then I used the chicken pan juices for the gravy.
Yep.
And then we had yummy roast carrots and cauliflower and broccoli cheese sauce.
That took me back, man. That took me back to like dinners at home with mum and dad with just cheese, cheesy cauliflower and broccoli.
Cheese sauce. Yeah, isn't that like the best? Oh, I was actually so happy about that roast. The gravy was like mind-blowing. And then the chickens, I've never in my life done a roast chicken in a bag.
It's quite a big thing, though.
I know. Well, I can see why it's a big thing. That was the most tender roast chicken I've ever had in my life. I am absolutely mind-blowing.
Yep.
Why would you roast a chicken any other way than in a bag?
And do you take it out for the last, like, 10 or 15 minutes to kind of let the skin...
I did. I rested it.
Yep.
And then I blasted them just to get a sort of skin a little bit crispier. But, the juiciness of the chicken was... And then all the juices are in the bag, ready to go straight into your gravy.
Straight in, and they're not sort of like floating around the pan.
I'm like shook. I'm shook. That's how they must. Oh, they do the rotisserie at the supermarkets.
Yeah, yeah. They don't teach you that in culinary school, do they?
They do not teach you to put the chicken in the bag. And the only reason I bought it is because I didn't have any other chickens at the four square.
Right.
But I'm like, is that just a thing? Can you just buy chickens to roast in a bag?
And you can get the butterflied ones as well, which we do on the barbecue.
Yeah,
They're not, it's not the same as a bag one, but like, I love them as well. Because they just chuck it on the barbecue for like 15 minutes one side, 15 minutes the other side, and you've got delicious.
It's pre-marinated. I tend to avoid anything pre-marinated. Right. But yeah, anyway, my chicken in a bag, that was my absolute win of the past fortnight. I've never been so happy as to have a chicken. And all the kids ate the roast. Like different parts of it.
Yep.
Yeah. So Sunday roasts are back. I've got pork or I've got a leg of lamb in the freezer. God, lamb's very cheap at the moment. That's actually also on my list.
Is it like the
leg of lamb's gone from like $50 to $20.
Right.
And the farmers are very upset.
Right.
I'm not upset, obviously, because I'm like, God, everyone, remember when I did that leg of lamb last year and everyone was like,
you got roasted.
Who can afford a leg of lamb? I'm like, well, $20 worth of meat to sort of feed six to eight people.
Yeah. Is there a reason?
Yeah, high inflation and high interest across Europe and Americas are causing people to buy less meat, and demand for New Zealand lamb from Chinese markets post-COVID has not rebounded as many were expecting.
Right. So it's the overseas market that's not buying up, which is making it
cheaper. Yeah, so we're getting it cheaper, which is actually nice, isn't it? The extra supply of lamb, mutton and beef has entered international trade when demand is fragile and contributed to a decline in prices for prime livestock in New Zealand, particularly lamb and sheep, which is unusual for this year because the price is usually higher.
Interesting.
Yeah, and no end in sight for falling lamb prices.
There you go.
So very hard on the farmers, but wow, nice. Well, I'll take the win. I'll take the supermarket trolley, absolutely. That's for sure.
Yep.
Why, I went for brunch at Picnicker this week.
Yes.
I went for brunch there.
Yeah.
Never thought to have brunch there.
Yeah. Was it good?
Very, very, very good.
Do they have a different, I guess, different brunch menu?
It was a small brunch menu. We had a whitebait omelette.
Okay.
Which was like a simple classic omelette rolled with like a stack of whitebait rolled inside of it. Ooh, it was
bougie breakfast.
But it just had this perfect little like fresh little salad on the side with like these pickled, like, I don't know, it was just cut all very perfect.
Oily, yep.
Very perfect. And I had Szechuan and I was like, oh, I'm and I didn't. So that's how delicious and delicate it was.
Wow.
And then they had we had a ham hock benny. Oh, so on a potato, you know, those smoked potato hash, you know, the rosti things that we like,
yes.
the Dauphinois,
yes.
ones.
Yes, yes.
You know, sliced, yes, potato, yes, 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 stack, yes. thing,
yep.
with like ham hock, and they smoke it somehow. And it was like smoky and deep fried and sliced potato situation. Poached eggs, hollandaise. Oh, lovely.
Is that just like, are they just making cheap meat fancy there?
Ham hock.
Yeah.
Well, you have to put a bit of admin into that, to be fair. But yeah,
does
I get. Well, they're
is
trying
it
to,
better than bacon?
I think
or
it was
like
better
thick
than
smoky
I
bacon.
Was,
or yeah.
I don't like thick smoky bacon.
No, you don't. Fair enough.
Terrible. So yes, I liked it. I really liked it. Oh, that was the one that had a little apple salad-y
right,
side.
That would. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was just perfect. Like honestly, so good. Definitely the best benny I've had in forever.
Nice.
And then there was like a banana bread. Like a stack, kind of like how you do French toast.
Right.
But with banana bread.
Like warm banana
and like,
bread.
Yeah, whipped ricotta. I think it was like pan-fried banana bread.
Yes.
Whipped ricotta and like maple and
I can get amongst
and,
that.
Maybe banana.
Banana bread.
Banana, yeah.
Banana bread's like making a huge comeback. Or has it been going on for ages?
Oh, that happened in lockdown, I think.
Right.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Right.
But yeah,
it's still hanging around.
That's the first time I've seen it done
like
a
that. Stack of sort of
like a
waffly
breakfast.
Pancakes.
Yeah, situation. As banana bread is which is actually a great idea, isn't it?
French
Yum.
Toast. Comparable to French toast, I
comparable
guess.
To French toast, but you don't need to toast it. You just slice it, pan fry it.
Yep.
Whipped ricotta, bananas, maple syrup. Mm, it was yummy. Very, very yummy. Really enjoyed it. Would go back.
Nice.
Yeah, very good. That's my food news. Yep. Oh, we went to Lanton last night, had some nice snacks, didn't we?
That beef skewer.
Beef skewer was
that was okay, real what good. Do you do to like little chunks of beef like that to get it that tender?
It was Wagyu.
Okay.
Did you look at the price?
No.
So it was like $50 for those three
beef
skewers. Yeah.
Okay.
When I saw it, I was like, that's going to be yum. Let's get that.
Okay.
And then just beautifully marinated, yummy herb sauce,
delicious.
Chili, coriander, pickled onion.
It was just
onion.
So tender.
Oh,
I was not expecting it to be like.
Incredible. And they cooked it on a hibachi.
On a hibachi. Little grill. So
yes.
The edamames would have been on a charcoal or something as well because they were.
Smoky.
Yeah, they were yum.
Very,
actually,
very.
Those edamame were probably the best.
Really?
Yeah, they were yum.
Oh, that's nice. I made befriending hawkers at my housewarming. It wasn't really housewarming, but like my chill vibe get together. It rained.
Yep.
So that was a bit of a great day for a pool
party
gathering. Yep. But I actually did keep it low key, which was good for me. We did get noise control at 10:03 p.m., which is the earliest possible you can get noise control. But it was fair. It was fair.
So you tied it up early, but you still got noise control.
Yeah, and I think I know, because usually it's obviously 1 a.m. when we have the karaoke out, like cranking away, but because we'd had the karaoke out at like 7 to 8.
Everyone was already sick
9,
of it.
Well, yeah, they're probably trying to put their kids to bed.
Yeah.
And like, it was that. But I'd already shut, I got everyone inside, shut the doors, 90% of the people, there was about 5 of us left.
Yeah.
So they must have been calling noise control before 10 or something.
Right.
Because we were done at 10, like everyone was leaving.
Yeah.
Anyway, befriending hawkers still one of my favourite ways to cater for a bulk number of people.
And it's so good because people can make them themselves how they want them.
Exactly.
To their tastes.
I did a lovely massive slaw and I used pre-made slaw, but then I added radishes, apples. I did a miso mayo with it and then like loads
of
coriander.
The century, I reckon.
Miso mayo?
No, the pre-made slaws.
Yeah, and then just jazz
them
up.
And then just make them fancy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was beautiful. And then like a really nice, not the dressings that come with it.
No.
And then the rendang. I cooked 2 days before to let it like ramp up in flavour. And I did it in the slow cooker because it was all ready to go. And then all you do is get up all your condiments. You've got a kewpie, little jar of chopped peanuts, crispy shallots, bowl of coriander, bowl of fresh chilli, hot nuts, sesh oil. And then you just, all you got to do is literally pan fry your rotis.
Yep.
And you can feed 50 people at the drop of a hat.
Yep.
Like if someone asked me to go and help them cater for something, I'd do that because it's literally zero effort. It's quite cheap.
It's not too bad, yeah.
It wasn't bad. I got a big, huge hunk of beef.
And you can get a whole stack of roadies from the Indian grocer
for $10. Yep. And slaw is cheap, and the condiments are cheap too.
Condiments are already in your fridge.
Yeah, so it's very, very good.
You do just have to do the rendering a few days in advance.
I reckon it just improves the flavour.
Mm-hmm.
It's still nice. I even made a little satay. Yeah, it was great. So that was good. Right, on the food news, Fijos are coming back, which I'm very excited about. Are you on board with Fijos?
Absolutely, 100%. Same. We're already eating them off our tree.
Have you got a tree?
We've got two trees, yeah. They're small.
Oh, I've decided I'm going to plant some trees.
Really? Just after you, like, created a concrete jungle?
No, my front garden. Yeah, we're going to pull the pool up. It's boring on the road.
You're not going to be able to grow a tree, though. You can't literally grow anything.
I know, but I did think about that. But I've ordered this cool veggie garden. I don't know if you're going to get as excited about this as I am. When I go for my walk to my friend's house through the
through the little estuary.
The estuary. You walk past this person's backyard, and I always looked at their veggie garden and be like, oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I took, like, some videos, like, trying to, like, zoom in on this veggie garden, and I had asked my builder friends, I was like, oh, do you reckon you could, like, make me something like that? And they were like, yeah. So I kind of put it on the agenda for next summer. And then I'm scrolling, and I get a freaking ad for the exact bloody...
What is it?
Veggie garden.
And what makes it cool?
Oh, my gosh, it's so cool. So it's like a raised veggie garden, mm-hmm. and you can get like two cells, three cells, or one cell, kind of like the veggie pod.
But they just look aesthetic.
Oh, it's more the fact that it's like a little mini hothouse on top garden. Here like we go. It's called Apt. No, Apt Garden Creation. I could have just got a veggie pod, to be fair.
I was about to say, is it not like...
No, it's not. It's really cool. Apt Garden Creations, canopy garden beds. And so the lids lift up in the cell, and it's like a clear, and so the cats can't get in it.
Right.
And you've got heaps of space.
Yeah.
So that's the medium. I got the large.
Yeah.
That epic Apt, APT, canopy garden. So I'm going to put that in my front yard.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to plant some fruit trees around it.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's my grand plan.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm pretty excited about it.
We have three veggie gardens. One has a, what do you make, what's a, not a radish, what's the kind of like celery but red?
Rhubarb?
Rhubarb. Yeah. We've got, one of them's got one plant of rhubarb.
Celery but
rhubarb. Yeah, it's pretty close, right?
Yeah, rhubarb, yeah.
And it's been in there since we bought the house 2.5 years ago.
Same rhubarb,
just sitting there growing. We haven't done anything with it.
We've got good herbs, though.
We've got, actually, yeah, we've got herbs in one veggie garden. We've got a strawberry patch that is just weeds, and every now and then a random strawberry pops up. But we're just not good at growing veggies.
Well,
we're good at growing herbs.
Yeah.
We've got some sweet herb gardens going.
I do think to myself, I wonder how much, because I spend so much money on the little plants.
Seeds and plants and seedlings, like, and stuff.
I don't get the lettuce, to be honest, because you buy six trick lettuce seedlings, right?
And they all get ready at exactly the same time.
Well,
and then
not only that, but they're like a couple of bucks each anyway. Yep. And you're like, that's how much our freaking lettuce is. So but not I only do I have to grow it myself, it's the same price finished.
I think with the lettuce ones, can't you leave them and they keep growing back?
Maybe so.
You can get a couple of heads
surely,
off them over a few months.
Surely.
Maybe.
I think you can with cos.
Right.
You can with cos. I don't know about the other lettuces. I've never really nailed lettuce, but I love my herbs. I love my tomatoes, silver beet, spinach, kale. I love your rhubarb. Would be cool. Anyway, I'm gonna have to start thinking about my winter garden.
Yeah,
autumn garden.
We've got trees which are good. So we've got
radishes,
lemon and lime,
like,
and
weeds.
Apple, and probably why it's still sitting around.
Yeah,
and we've got Hayley planted tomatillos.
Oh, yum!
They're the tree tomato things, eh? They're the kind of
tamarillos.
Ah.
Tomatillo is a green tomato. It's like a mix.
Oh, no. So, yeah, tamarillos.
Tamarillos are good.
Yeah, you can see how much I care.
Yeah.
But, so we've got two of them growing, and they've gone nuts.
I love those.
Almost ready.
But I've got this gene,
mm-hmm.
this weird thing. It's taken me my whole 34 years to figure this out. I must have like a mild allergy to passion fruit.
Oh.
Pineapple.
Oh, yeah.
Kiwi fruit. And
does your mouth go
tamarillos.
Numb?
It gives me white spots all over my tongue. And my tongue gets so painful.
Yep.
And I only realised when Kit said it to me. But I remember me and Mum, we had passion fruit. We ate like heaps of passion fruit one day. And both of us like sitting in with our tongues dangling in a glass of ice water. Because our tongue was so
sore and raw.
So sore. Yep. And it lasts for days, the spots on your tongue. And then someone's like, oh, that's like a genetic thing. So me, I have it, Mum has it, and Kit has it because he won't eat pineapple.
Interesting.
Because he used to love it, and then
don't eat it enough. to know, but I probably do the same thing.
Yeah. Because I kind of like, I really love those fruits. Like, I absolutely love those fruits. But even if I have a passion fruit drink, I notice it now that I know. I'm like, that's interesting.
You're looking for it.
Yeah, so I'll kind of avoid it. It's annoying enough to avoid because your tongue is... those white spots on your tongue would have to be one of the most frustrating bloody things. Yep. On the planet.
And then your tongue will, like, inflame a little bit, and then you'll bite your tongue when you're eating something else, and then it makes it twice as bad, and it just...
Yeah. Ugh. Horrible. Anyway, yeah. So that's what's in the family, but I used to love Tamarillos, yep. Yeah. There's a video at the moment, it was in the news the other week, of Alison Holst in 1985, and she's made a video. It was made a video for the Cobb and Co's of New Zealand, and it's teaching them the new menu items.
Oh my goodness!
And like how to plate them up.
That's so good.
And it is good watching.
Oh man, it was
very enjoyable. Just watched it. So she starts with the bluff oysters.
Right.
Serve with a cocktail sauce, a piece of curly parsley, and a few ice cubes. Dotted around in between the oysters, and then it was chicken wings, three chicken wings, garnished with a lettuce leaf and a curly parsley and a wedge of tomato. A steak and onion sandwich on, like, literally a square of tip-top, like, sliced bread, one iceberg lettuce.
One piece of
two slices of tomato, and then, like, sautéed onions on top. Pork chop. Freeman's Cobb Choice was a 300-gram rump on a hot dinner plate with three onion rings. Don't forget the special steak knife. Pork chop.
Cobb & Co., you used to get those little... bowls of stuff at the start, eh?
Cob like crunchies. Yeah. They were lit.
Restaurants need to bring that back.
Yeah, I feel like I had them somewhere recently, actually. The desserts I really enjoyed, mud pie or a strawberry patch, was a choux pastry filled with either chocolate or strawberry mousse, chocolate or strawberry sauce, chocolate hail.
From a little sprinkle.
Yeah.
Go-bake sprinkle.
And then the cheese platter.
Oh my goodness. I died.
It was one lettuce leaf. Four crackers, and it's a choice of either mild or tasty cheese. It was like literally just sliced off the block.
Sliced off a block of cheese.
Mild or tasty cheese. Yeah, so that was really enjoyable, actually.
It 80s.
Yeah, if you want to search it up, Alison Holst. She's just so happy and calm. Popeye's chicken is coming to Auckland. That's like an American fried chicken brand, Popeye's. I only know about it from TikTok.
Right.
I think it's like tenders and...
Right.
Buttermilk ranch and chips and...
Do you think those, like Taco Bell and stuff, do you think they'll last here? Do you think they'll get a foothold over... Or do you think, like, it'll end up pushing out, like, Burger Kings and stuff?
I don't know. Like, Taco Bell's certainly not really expanded. They've only got a couple as far as I know.
Yeah.
Carl's Jr., I've not seen that. Like, we don't have that stuff here. I think people do like Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked the Taco Bell when we tried it.
Mm.
But I think you get so, like, you get your comfort foods right, like... We Macca's or whatever, KFC or whatever. I don't know. This will be interesting, though. Popeye's, it's opening in Takanini in April.
Yep.
So who knows?
What's the donut place?
Dunkin' Donuts?
No, wasn't there a different... Isn't there a different one?
Maybe
it was Dunkin' Donuts. No, like the American one.
That's at the BP. The donut.
It is...
Krispy Kreme? Yeah.
They're all at BP's now.
Because they're at the BP, which is really smart.
But
I don't think you'd go, we wouldn't, as a culture, drive specifically to a donut shop very often, would we?
No.
Whereas if you're at the...
But now they've got it into all the
service station, and then they do Uber
brilliant
Eats and whatnot.
Thing. It's a brilliant plan, because they've just got like one blooming massive
bakery
somewhere, and they just ship them over the place.
It's like what I was talking about with the drinks shops, how they, you know, how I just don't see those working. Like, there's entire stores dedicated to serving drinks, like iced bubble teas the soft serves and the whatever they were. But that's the thing McDonald's has just bought out overseas.
Yeah.
But they're going Hundies. I guess it's like Starbucks.
If it was drive-through. I reckon drive-through would work.
Maybe.
They have drive-through Starbucks in America.
True. Yes. Okay. But they're all kind of falling over, right? Starbucks has had heaps falling over.
Oh, like. I think the whole economy is in for a real hard year.
Oh, God, I know. We've really seen it now, haven't we? Everyone thought it was last year, and then it's not. It's this year.
Yep.
All the big businesses are falling over like bloody dominoes, which is very scary, actually. But if you look at the way the world is, like, retail is dead.
Mm.
Retail stores, particularly in malls, pay mall rent.
Yep.
It's just died. Yep. Like, you think to do your Christmas rush, your Christmas shopping, right?
Everyone just does it
online. I don't go to a shop.
No.
Absolutely no way I'm stepping foot in a shop.
No. Why would you?
That's right. So, yeah, I guess luckily we positioned ourselves luckily, it's an online brand. But yeah, it'll be very, like, Body Shop is really interesting. I watched the lady from Ethique. She, Brianne or something, Brianne West. So she's got a new business, but she kind of, she does interesting.
Is she the one doing the water?
The water, incredible. So yeah, you pop water the tablet into your water and it like makes fizzy flavored water to try and get rid of all like cans and bottles and stuff, which is very cool.
Yep.
Incredibles, I think it's called. Don't love the name, but great concept. She does just cool business chats.
Yeah.
And she was looking at the Body Shop. So the Body Shop's shutting down, like, and just examining where they've gone wrong.
Mm.
Because the Body Shop is like a staple, you know. It's like massive. As a kid, I love going to the mall and going to the Body Shop and rubbing on the creams.
And
I loved it to get like a Body Shop body butter for your birthday. It was like
That was like as a teenage boy buying like presents for girls.
Yes.
Go to the Body Shop, spend $40 and sorted.
You know, and then they just lost it. Like, and they were always like the OG cruelty-free, not tested on animals brand.
Yeah.
And like how they went wrong. And they're like, yeah, the social media, nothing dead. Like someone was posting, but it was no good.
No one was putting
The lack of foot traffic in malls, the lack of online presence, and then so not if they, keeping if they up
transitioned
with,
to online.
Oh, they also sold to L'Oreal.
Right.
They sold to L'Oreal like 10 years ago or something, and when you think of cruelty-free, it never appeared well, but that obviously, there's a few other reasons. But yeah, to go from like loving something to like just not being interested. And there was no entry-level price points for their product.
Right.
Which I thought that's always a really interesting point, is it like have an entry level price point on your product so that people who
get hooked in.
Well, one, get hooked in, but like it opens you up to a whole new range of customers.
Mm.
And that's actually a really good, I guess we do that with our addicts packs or mystery boxes and things, because we're providing something that theoretically like most people can afford at some point, and then they can still know and be able to love the brand.
I wonder if that's literally like you go into a Mitre 10 and quite often they use those loss leaders as a way to get you into the store. So it'll be they'll do a sale on something, and one of the things that you need for a range of something will be super, super cheap.
Yeah, to get you in the store.
They're going to lose money on that.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that's something that we need to explore. And for us, shipping is the worst. We charge $7 shipping? $6.95,
yeah.
We haven't increased that price in shipping in
forever.
5 or 6 years or something, but the costs have gone up massively for us. Like every problem in 3 months, NZ Post are putting their prices up. But I wonder if we do an entry-level pack that's only like $30 and it's free shipping and it's always there, but it's just like, it's like the small bags, the baggies, that's just small bags to like get people in the door. Or I wonder if it's like,
yeah, well, that's what we do with the, we do that with the addicts pack.
But the addicts is,
it's not there all the time.
It's not there all the time. And we do the addicts packs usually for weird stuff that people might not know about. Mm. Like it's normally a new product or it's an odd thing or not odd.
So you're talking more like you'd maybe do sample sizes of the core range for really like almost at cost. Like we'll do them at cost to get them to people to try.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Or if it's like if you're a first-time buyer.
Yeah.
So someone that's, you know,
Well, I had this, like, I said, that's why we got those blank bags. Because I was like, let's do mini sizes and do a sample pack of, you get one single serve of each of our products to try for a really cheap price. That's why we got those bags in, like, a year ago. Just, we just never did it.
We just haven't done it.
But that's exactly what they're talking about, which is a great idea.
Mm.
Yeah, she's clever, very clever, that lady. Yeah, yes. good. That's the best thing about TikTok, isn't it? There's always
so much stuff.
Cool, yeah.
Do you have to go pick up the kids?
I've got 10 more minutes, and the last thing I want to talk about is bloody Hercules
food?
Nobles, a KFC pop-up.
Insane.
Yeah, did you see it?
I saw a whole bunch of TikToks about it, yeah.
Mm.
And so that's the dude that... he do catering? But he does that sourdough series.
I've seen
his name a few times, but I hadn't actually even linked it to a New Zealand guy.
Very clever, right? He is. Very clever. Very good.
There's a guy
cook
that does private catering on Waiheke or something?
That's
or
him.
That's him as
well. Well, he does private catering and abouts, so he must just take on jobs or whatever.
Very clever.
He's done very well, actually. He's
playing
the
character.
And he's just a great cook. Like, I have definitely been watching him a lot. To try and...
I reckon we've got something to learn there, right? And I think it's around characters or, like, that sort of thing. And I think maybe that's what we've lost recently with the top-down videos. is we no longer have that character. That
character come through.
That association with a face.
Yeah.
As much as we used to.
Yeah, that's true. But then I tried to put the face in and they just completely flopped as well.
Yeah.
So maybe it's the editing and, like, maybe you're right about having a long form. I have been trying to do stories a couple of times a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
On top of the reels,
yeah.
just to like keep those people who don't like the reels
going.
Yep. And they're like, well, you know, thanks. Like, I've been missing. I haven't made a nice dinner for 6 months because you've not been doing stories. I'm like, I'm still doing the same dinners.
Just look on the reels.
It's there. Yeah. It's better. It's clearer. You can see the food close up. You've got the recipe posted with it. Like, why do you don't like it? I don't understand why people don't like it. Or so anti it. But maybe it is the personality. But that is something that as a brand we have to separate. Like, I can't be this entire brand. That's not sustainable.
No. In saying that, when you open up Instagram, what do you click on first? Do you scroll through your reels or do you click on stories?
On my personal page, I guess, because I'm following my friends, I like to watch their stories still. And then on the Pepper and Me page, where I kind of more follow businesses, I just don't really watch anything.
Interesting.
I actually don't really scroll reels. I probably scroll TikTok reels a little bit more.
Interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting, especially like... Anyway, the KFC looked very cool. I love that. He said he needed the 11 herbs and spices, and I, like, delivered him a packet of it in an unlabeled container. They still wouldn't even tell him the 11 herbs and spices. But he actually he used actual KFC chicken in the food.
Just like our photo shoot.
Right? I know. Oh, that's right.
Did we out ourselves? We did, didn't we?
We did, yeah. Whether we bought the KFC Wicked Wings to dip in the burger sauce. That was a great choice, by the way. They look... Excellent, very good. Luke's just done a mock-up for the subscription box design.
Pepper Post.
Yeah, I wanted Spice Society.
But Pepper Post won.
Well, it's not one, but that's his favourite, so he's done it with that. But it's quite fun.
Is it Pepper Post or is it Peppers?
Pepper Post.
Or Peppered Pepper.
Pepper Post. Pepper Post. And the subscription box is ready to launch. The first boxes will be sent.
First.
On the first, and we've got a brand new product. We've got a throwback product that you'll all want. We've got a salt, and then we do a Regrange product.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get some merch. No one's listening to me. We probably talked about this. I'm like, I want to do some merch. I want some like sesh hats,
but
and
you just
I
need a budget.
Pepper and Me gibbets, and I want t-shirts. No, I need someone to do it for me. I don't know how to do that.
No, but we just need to set a budget because essentially it's just throwing money away. You have to treat it as throwing money away. It's building the brand.
It's building the brand.
But that's almost impossible.
I think sesh oil gibbets for Crocs is... I've been telling you this since January. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, it is.
So why don't we have it? okay. Anything from you?
No. We went back to Umami.
Oh, that's right. I've still not bloody been there.
You need to go.
I know.
You need to get the aubergine. What do you call
it? That's right. The eggplant. Calamari. What time do they open? They don't do lunch,
Yeah, they do.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they do now. I don't know if it's just new or not with the new, because they've changed owners.
Oh, but, let's just go there for lunch one day. Yeah, or maybe I'll go there tomorrow. Perfect.
Yeah. And you need to get the Kraken cocktail because it's like a chili blackberry kind of cocktail.
Hmm. Okay.
The usual is rice baby for... Barn me and pork belly.
Oh, right. Do you go there? But you do. I don't go there. I don't like it because they gave me terrible service 3 times in a row. So I've
we just get takeaway and pick up and take it home.
Yeah, I get a real BMO bonnet about bad service.
You do.
I really
you
do.
Because we have to go back to Izakai as well because that's another one that keeps coming up.
I know.
So,
but that really ground my
ground your gears.
Yes, yeah.
Funny. What are you cooking this Easter?
Well, I'm going to do a brunch on Friday morning, but it's very kids focused.
Yep.
So I thought I'd make the kids their own little menus and they can tick what they want to have.
That's cute.
So I was going to do like eggs and soldiers, dippy eggs and soldiers, maybe like some form of people wants eggs benny.
Yep.
So maybe I'll put that on the menu because I was going to do my fish cake eggs bennies for the adults and mimosas and... Oh, I just bought some toaster waffles so I can put waffles on the menu for them.
Yep.
And then we're going to do some crafts and
Easter egg hunt.
Easter egg, big old Easter egg hunt. I don't know, I've signed up for another gym challenge. I know. But I'm actually going.
But you're actually going at the moment.
Have I told you, I've actually been going to the gym for the whole month and I've not lost a single freaking
keep going
smattering. No, he said no. He's like, well, you know what the problem is, don't you? I was like, yes, I know what the problem is. So we come up with an idea this morning. He's like, why don't you just eat whole foods and see how that goes? Because it's like no pressure, because theoretically that's so easy. I could do that anywhere.
What you're eating?
Yeah, because so just eat like meats, eggs, vegetables, fruits.
Right.
And just don't eat processed foods.
So what are you cutting from your diet that you eat currently that's processed?
Probably hot cross buns. I'll dial back the butter. He's like, you can have butter. I was like, I think that might be one of my main problems. Alcohol. And he's like, just pick when you – I was like, well, I'm not giving up alcohol for 3 months. But he's like, well, just pick when you're drinking. And I was like, yeah, fair enough. So I've got a wedding and I've got a girls' weekend coming up in the next few months. So I'm like, those are my drinking times.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to have eggs for breakfast. Yeah, and I'm just going to keep track of it.
Yep.
So he's like, you can have potatoes or like sweet potato, like any vegetable, like no rules, hard out rules, but like
– I still reckon you should try keto.
No cheese. I can't do keto because I love carbs.
No, but you should.
I feel
do it for a month.
There's too many rules.
No,
there's too many rules.
It's. I think
this. For me, this we'll try this. It's,
I don't think it'll work because I don't think you're going to cut enough out.
True.
I don't think it's going to be
no. But I'm cutting out
a change.
Cheese and like pasta and breads.
Okay.
That's quite a lot, and like creams and all sweets.
Yeah.
So no sweets, no sugar at all.
Yeah, so you're halfway to keto.
It is halfway to keto, but I can still have potatoes and rice and quinoa and, like, things that make me feel full and, like I had a nice meal.
Yeah.
And he said sauces. He's like, obviously sauces is, like, a big...
The worst
thing.
Just full of sugar.
Well, they're just full of oil. Like, they're just so... Like, you're talking about Kewpie mayo, right? God, you just see how much Kewpie mayo I eat. Like... A tablespoon of Kewpie mayo is the same amount of calories as a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
So if you're like having two tablespoons of Kewpie or a teaspoon, it's like a teaspoon with your dinner, you're adding on
a cheeseburger of calories.
Two cheeseburgers of calories, which is what I'm doing, which is my problem, and I know that.
So bad.
I know.
No Kewpie.
Well, no, that's mayo in general. All mayos are the same composition of eggs and oil. Kewpie's no worse, I don't think, than anything else.
Mm.
Maybe. Maybe some of the low-fat ones are water-based and then thickened and emulsified.
Yep.
Like, ours are not water-based.
No.
Ours are proper mayo.
Yep. Which makes them...
The schmack's okay because it's, like, heaps of mustard and tomato sauce and pickles stuff, and loads of pickles in it. So it's, like, way lower cal. But yeah, anyway. The best dressing is that coriander bloody jalapeno thing I made.
So good.
You just blend a jar of jalapenos with a bag of coriander and then some lime juice. Yeah. And I think I put just a splash of oil in it to bind it. And that's like a pesto one.
So good.
And then I like to use yogurt. If you mix yogurt with Dude Ranch or Chipotle Ranch, like that's a great dressing. It's like a creamy dressing.
Yeah, and you can chuck like a little bit of – we do a little bit of sour cream as well, which kind of like – gives it that not so yogurty taste.
Yeah, but if you used it real thick yogurt, like that's.
But it's still pretty, got the yogurty taste. Yeah, the sour cream differently. Fine.
Yeah, we kind of sell it. Do you know what's good though? Cottage cheese. So you can blend cottage cheese
into a
thick. If you want a thick creamy dip, blend cottage cheese with yogurt and some Chipotle Ranch or Dude Ranch or any of our dip mixes, rations, salsa, and you've got like a thick, cheesy, high protein, super low calorie dip. Yeah, or spread or sandwich filling or whatever. So I might make up some of those. Anyway, see how I go. God, I'm good at it.
So this challenge is 3 months.
Well, he's at 75 soft or something. It is. So you're supposed to like do your exercise, which I do. I literally do the exercise and just eat whole foods.
You're going to read the books? Because that's what
I do read book, actually. Yeah. I do read books. Yeah. I'll have to get my Kindle out. That's a good point. I can drop my TikTok for reading.
Yeah.
And then what else do you have to do?
The 75 hard you're supposed to do.
No, I'm doing hard, but it's soft. It's just 75 soft.
It's
75
like two
days of
and
making.
One of them is outside or something. So you
have to
do
half an hour outside exercise a day. That's true. No, I'm not going that hard, Corey. I'm just going to.
75 soft.
Well, yeah, he did say to me, he's like, imagine if you didn't work out. And I was like, but I didn't used to. And it was the same.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. Thank you. Anyway, all right. Report back next week.
Cool. Sounds good. I'm going to make a pork head over Easter.
Are you?
Yeah, we're going to do that on Sunday for Marley's birthday.
Oh, nice.
You're here on Sunday, right?
Yes, I am.
Cool. Yeah, we're going to do that at your early
house.
Dinner.
Oh, nice. Cool. Fun. All right. Excellent. All right.
Might
okay, bye.
Or something. All right, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pepper and Me podcast, guys. Make sure you like and subscribe. And if you're interested in any of the products that we're talking about, you'll find us at pepperandme.co.nz.